This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
I am so glad to have you all with us this morning. And I just have to say, it is great to have mothers and fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, and all the kids in service this morning. Y'all look amazing. And I just believe it warms the heart of God to see all of us families. And if your family's not with you today, you are in a family. It's the family of God. And we're just so glad that we're all here worshiping together. So glad that everyone chose to be here this morning. So are y'all ready to get into the Word? Yeah. Now, I asked in the early service if folks were awake. So I'm really hoping I get a better response in the second service. Adults, are you awake? Okay. Ooh, that was good. Okay, so kids, you got to outdo them. Kids, are you awake? Really? Y'all, that's what they did to me in the first service too. Kids, you got to help me out. Anyway. Well, I'm so glad that y'all are here. And as we dive into the Word, I have a question for you. Have you ever kind of been running late and you're leaving for work, you're leaving for school? I hear laughter. And adults, maybe you forgot something really important. Maybe it was your work keys to get into your office or your badge to be able to clock into work. That's a problem. How about your cell phone? Maybe, you know, for some folks, that means you got to turn back and you got to go get it. How about kids? Maybe you left your lunch. Maybe you left your homework. Oh, no. Or your backpack. Heaven forbid. You know, whenever you forget an important item, it can be a real bummer. And it can be a major inconvenience. Well, just kind of tuck that away in the back of your mind, because we're going to talk a little bit more about having forgotten something in just a moment. But this morning, I want you to know that if you've been at Church Alive for any length of time, you have probably heard teaching about the spiritual battle that we are all in. If you didn't know, you're in a spiritual battle. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 6 talks about this. And whether you signed up for it or not, whether you enlisted in the army or not, you are in a battle. And verse 12 speaks to this. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Now, right there, it lays out for us the battle. And I want to draw special attention to the part that says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. When you look around you, those are not your enemy that you're looking at. Keep that in mind. It's important to note. Now, our enemy, Satan, has a three-part attack. And those of y'all that have been around here at Church Alive, you know what his three-part attack is. From John 10:10, what is it? Steal, kill, and destroy. Very good. Y'all are excellent, excellent students. So according to John 10:10, he does. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But let's get even more specific, because he plans to do a number of things to us. He wants to steal your peace and joy. He wants to do that. He wants to kill your passion for life, and he wants to destroy your purpose. And in case no one has told you this, you have a purpose. Everyone here has a purpose. So he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have good news, because God gives us special armor. And if you look down past verse 12 in that same chapter, starting at verse 13, he starts to lay out, the Apostle Paul starts to lay out all the different pieces of armor that we have. And he gives us, God gives us this armor so we can defend ourselves and so we can strike back at the enemy. Y'all want to strike back at your enemy? I mean, I do, because I don't know about y'all, but he messes with me on a daily basis. Not today, Satan. So here's our armor. We have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the shield of faith. We have the helmet of salvation. He gives us the sword of the Spirit. And today's focus and where we want to camp out for just a little while is our shoes of peace. Everybody say, shoes of peace. We've got shoes of peace, and we're going to learn about that today. So today, let's discuss the importance of standing firm with peace. Standing firm with peace. Now, as I said earlier, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. And an interesting thing to note is, as he was writing this book of the Bible, he was under house arrest. So there would have been Roman soldiers in sight, in view of him. And so many believe that this is what kind of inspired this section of the Bible for when he talks about the armor of God. And so when he was on house arrest, he was seeing these soldiers, he was seeing this armor. And just as I laid out for you earlier, those different pieces. But in verse 15, it talks about how we are to have our feet fitted with special shoes. These special shoes prepare us to stand strong against the enemy, our shoes of peace. Now, y'all know that I'm a teacher, right? That's my background. So, kids, I'm talking like a teacher, that's why. And I'm sorry, adults, you're stuck with me. So we're going to use our imagination, okay? Now, I know if you're a kindergartner in here, you have a good imagination. Even some of you older kids maybe have a good imagination. So I want you to close your eyes for just a minute, and I want you to imagine a Roman soldier standing before you, and he's dressed in all his armor. He has on his helmet. He's holding his shield. He's got his sword. And then you look down at his feet, and he's barefoot. Oh my goodness, open your eyes. Now really, would a Roman soldier go into battle with no shoes on? I hope not, absolutely not. He was barefoot. He forgot something really important, right kids? Your shoes are important, very important. They're essential actually. Shoes are essential. And I'm gonna tell you about the special shoes that Roman soldiers had. These shoes were built in a special way. They were designed for stability, for us to be able to stand firm, all right? The soles, the bottoms of the shoes, they had spikes or hobnails that would give them extra stability so they couldn't be easily knocked down. Now, do I have anybody in here, kids or adults, that played sports? Anyone? Yeah, we got some. Yeah, there we go. All right. So if you've played sports, have you ever tried to run on a wet field? Ever tried to do that? It doesn't work well, does it? You're slipping, you're sliding around. And that's why, for instance, if you're playing football, you wear cleats, right? It gives you stability so that you're not slipping and sliding. Those shoes for the Roman soldiers gave them grip and balance so they wouldn't be easily knocked over. And I'm here to tell you, that's what peace does for us. Peace gives us stability. Everybody say stability. Stability. Do y'all want stability in your life? Yeah. I do. So when we're thinking about peace, I want you to think about the definition for just a moment. You know, some would say, you're kind of right, but I'm here to tell you that the Hebrew word for peace, that meaning goes way deeper. So let's take a look at the Hebrew word for peace, and that is shalom. Shalom. So shalom means wholeness and soundness. Okay, it is a multi-dimensional, complete well-being. So it means that we have wholeness or soundness in our physical body, in our emotions, our psychological well-being, amongst all of our relationships, so socially and spiritually, our relationship with God. That's the kind of peace I want. I don't know about y'all, but I want wholeness. I want complete well-being. But let's be honest. We already said we got an enemy, right? And that enemy wants to steal that from us. And so every day we face challenges. We face things that try to disrupt our peace. But we can choose to stand firm and to not be shaken. It's our choice. It's our choice. You know, I saw a quote about peace and it just stuck so deeply inside of me. It said, "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but rather the presence of God." You know, sometimes with peace, we think, oh, that just means everything's calm. Everything's cool. Nothing bad's happening. Well, I'm here to tell you the kind of peace that God gives, you can have things going on all around you, but you are standing firm with peace, knowing that God's got you. And that's the kind of peace that I want. So we're going to take a look at 3 points today about peace. Number one being this: Jesus purchased your peace. He purchased your peace. So if you read through the Bible, you'll see that Jesus came to earth as a human. And he lived a sinless life. And he died as a sacrifice for all of our sins. Your sins, my sins, all of our sins. In fact, there's an old song that we sing sometimes called "Jesus Paid It All." And what that means is that he paid for your salvation. He did that for you and for me. And he's purchased everything. The bill has already been paid. So you can have peace because of what he did. You can have salvation, and along with salvation comes all these benefits, peace and joy and hope, and it's just all sorts of good things. So it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. And he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you can have salvation and you can have that shalom peace that I was just talking about." So once we accept salvation, we are at peace with God. But it also allows us to be positioned to possess or grab hold of the peace of God. Y'all, I've had times in my life where I didn't have peace. And I'm here to tell you that living without peace, it's exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting. You're always anxious. You're always worried. You can't relax. A lot of times your eating and your sleeping are disrupted. It's miserable. It's absolutely tormenting. But the reason that we deal with those symptoms is because we are trying to carry all the burdens on our own. And we're not meant to do that. Jesus wants to carry your burdens. He wants to carry all that worry and doubt and anxiety. He wants you to give it to Him. In fact, it says this in both the Old and the New Testament. It says in Psalm 55:22, it's an invitation. Give your burdens to the Lord, and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. He wants you to give Him your burdens. He's inviting you to do that. And in case you didn't catch it in the Old Testament, over in the New Testament, He says it again in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. In fact, a more familiar version in the King James says, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Yes, amen. Now, I'm not a fisherman or woman, but many of you probably are. And I know that when you go to cast a net, you have to release it, right? Or when you go to cast a rod, you have to release. If you don't release, it doesn't work. So as you read these scriptures, I want you to think about that. That when you give your burdens, you're giving them and you're not taking them back. You're releasing them. Completely releasing them. So number one is Jesus purchased your peace. But we got that old stinky devil. Number two, Satan wants to steal your peace. That's what he wants to do. He wants to create chaos in every area of your life. Every area. This includes your physical health, your emotions, if you're a student at school, adults on a job, he wants to create chaos, confusion. We've been talking for the last few weeks about families and marriages. He wants to create chaos in your marriage. He wants to create chaos in your family and within every relationship that you have. That is what he wants to do. And so anywhere that you don't have peace, where peace is lacking, the enemy is at work. Remember back that verse we talked about earlier, Ephesians 6:12. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. That's not your enemy. That's who you see, but that's not your enemy. The actual enemy is Satan. And the good news is we always have a choice. We always have a choice, because with every situation that we face, we have the choice to maintain our peace. That is up to us. God gives us the peace. It's up to us to maintain that peace. So instead of chaos, the peace of God will give us order and clarity. Now, it doesn't mean that everything goes away, but we can have peace in the midst of that. One of my absolute favorite scriptures in the Word comes from the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 26, verse 3, and it says this, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you," yes, meaning God, "all whose thoughts are," what? "Fixed on you." Let's talk about fixed for just a minute. If you are fixed on something, you are focused. You have a single-eyed focus on that thing. You're not wavering back and forth. You are focused. And our focus has to be on the Lord. Our focus cannot be on the size of our problems. Because here's what's going to happen. If you focus on your problem, your problem's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. When you put your attention on that thing, you're going to get over into doubt and fear and worry. And oh my goodness, I can't handle this because it's so much. But when we focus and stay fixed on the Lord, then we're not focused on the size of our problem, but on the strength of our God. That's who we need to stay focused on. Because when we focus on Him, we see, wait a minute, hold up. He is more than able to handle anything that I face, that you face. He can handle it. He is strong and he is mighty and he can handle it. So here's where we get into trouble. When we don't stay fixed, all right? So we can go to church. We can read our word. We can be worshiping, doing all these good things. But when trouble comes, if we are speaking out of our mouth things that are not in agreement with what God says, that's a problem. Okay? We've got to stay fixed. Our thoughts are fixed on Jesus. So we're not going to speak doubt. We're not going to speak worry. We're not going to speak fear. We're not going to think on those things. You know, Philippians 4:8 talks about all those things that we're supposed to think on. All right? So we've got to think on those things and let those things come out of our mouth. Because when we get into agreement with Satan, with that fear, doubt, worry, what we're doing is we're taking off our shoes of peace, right? Because you're not at peace if you're in fear, doubt, and worry. So we don't need to be barefoot like that Roman soldier we imagined. We need to have our shoes on. Remember, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So we are going to keep our shoes on. Say, keep your shoes on.
Keep your shoes on.
Yes. All right, so I'm going to throw some tests your way. Are you ready? I'm a teacher, so I'm going to give you a test. Pop quiz. All right. When someone says something that offends you, what are you going to do? Keep your shoes on. You're not going to be rude and mean and say evil things or put bad things on social media. You're going to keep your shoes on. When someone cuts you off in traffic and you experience unexpected delays, what are we going to do?
Bless them.
We're going to bless them and keep our shoes on. All right, kids, when your grades aren't looking good, you're struggling to pass a class, what you going to do? Keep your shoes on. Parents, when those kids are fussing and fighting, what are we going to do? Bless God, I'm going to keep my shoes on. So kids, maybe when your friends start talking behind your back, what you going to do? Well, you most definitely need to pray for them, but you need to keep your shoes on. Husbands and wives, when you and your spouse are having a disagreement, what are you going to do?
Keep your shoes on.
Remember, your enemy is not flesh and blood. You're on the same team, folks. Keep your shoes on. Whenever there seems to be more bills than income, what are you going to do? Keep your shoes on. Whenever the doctor gives you a bad report, keep your shoes on. Have your fixed your thoughts fixed on the Lord. And when you feel like everything in your life is going wrong, what are we going to do? Keep your shoes on. Keep on your shoes of peace. Stay in agreement with what God says. Because here is the truth. God has the final word in every situation. Not Satan, not the size of your problem, but the strength of your God. And that's where we need to focus. Because even though Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy, what does Jesus come to do? He comes to give you life more abundantly, an abundant life filled with the shalom peace of God. So as I was preparing for this week's teaching, I asked God to give me a picture of what it looks like to maintain our peace in the middle of chaos. And he led me to Mark chapter 4. And starting at verse 35, this is what it says. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Okay, what kind of storm was it? It was fierce. Y'all, this is serious. It's not just a little bit of wind blowing. It was fierce. And there's water coming into the boat. All right. Next, what's Jesus doing? Well, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Okay, we just got to stop right here. There is a fierce storm. There's water coming into the boat. Y'all, it's chaos. It's chaos. And right now you may feel like it's chaos in your life, in some area of your life. But the thing is we can have the peace of God, like Jesus, sleeping on the boat, not worried about it at all. The disciples woke him up. Y'all, they were shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" I think they were freaking out just a little bit. They're shouting at Jesus. And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence," or some versions say, "Peace, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So that was a picture to me that I can be like Jesus. You can be like Jesus. We can have the peace of God. We can, in the middle of a fierce storm, we can stand firm with faith and stand firm with peace, and we can know that God's got our back. He's got us. We can trust him, and we don't have to be like the disciples. We don't have to be freaking out. We're going to be okay. So number two, Satan wants to steal your peace. But number three is this: peace intimidates the enemy. Does Satan ever try to intimidate you? Does he ever try to throw something at you? And you're like, "Whoa, wait a minute. What is really happening right now?" He does that to me on a daily basis. But here's the thing. Instead of him intimidating us, we need to be intimidating him. Because we know who our God is. We know what our God has done for us and what he will do through us. If we stand firm with faith and with peace. I keep trying to say faith. Maybe God's trying to tell me we need to have some faith teaching. But we can stand firm with peace. Satan doesn't know what to do whenever you stand firm with peace. It intimidates him. And if you look back at those verses I just read, notice what happened. When Jesus woke up and he spoke with authority, right? We're created in the image of God. We can speak with authority if we are in right relationship with Jesus. And we can take authority over that situation and know that we're going to keep our shoes on, know that it's going to be okay because we're standing firm on the Word of God.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.